RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The House Deputy Speaker, Fahri Hamzah, is reported by migrant worker groups for an offensive statement. PT Pertamina uses cross split to manage 8 oil and gas blocks. Now the news in detail. 55 Indonesian migrant worker groups united under the flag of I Love Indonesia Circle, or LACI, said they will file a report against House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah for an offensive statement on social media platform Twitter, in which he said that Indonesian migrant workers had become beggars in foreign lands. Ironically, Fahri is in a team of lawmakers responsible for revising Indonesia's migrant protection law, a process which had gone nowhere since 2010. Two of the group's representatives will visit Jakarta to file the report against Fahri to the House's Ethics Council on Monday, January 30, the LACI group said in a statement signed by Nur Halimah, Sri Hartuti, and Haryanto. The visit will be paid for by Indonesian migrant workers in Hong Kong. Fahri's tweet has insulted and demeaned Indonesian workers abroad, the groups added. The complete tweet, which has since been deleted from the lawmakers' Twitter account, at Fahri Hamzah said, Indonesians have become beggars in foreign lands while foreign workers are flocking in to Indonesia. The workers' representatives will also demand that the House complete as soon as possible the amendment to Law No. 39-2004 on the placement and protection of Indonesian migrant workers the Law Fahri was supposed to help revise. The Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has given full authority to state-owned energy company PT Pertamina to manage 8 oil and gas blocks whose third party are set to expire in 2018. Pertamina Upstream Director Samsul Alam said on Tuesday his company would use a gross-split sliding-scale production sharing contract to manage the blocks. The 8 are the Tuban Block, the Sanga-Sanga Block, the Southeast Sumatra Block, the Ogan Komering Block, the North Sumatra Offshore Block, the Central Block, the East Kalimantan Block, and the Ataka Block. According to Energy and Mineral Resources Ministerial Regulation No. 15-2015, Pertamina has special rights to manage the oil and gas blocks. Energy and Mineral Resources Deputy Minister Archandra Tahar said the right was given to Pertamina so that the company would own more than 50% of the shares in each block. Samsul said his company has tried to prevent the decline of oil and gas production in the field under its authority. Samsul aided the production of several blocks like Sanga-Sanga, East Kalimantan, Central, and Ataka that had not been managed by Pertamina have declined significantly in recent years because they have operated for about 50 years. Indonesian textile and garment producers look forward to a level playing field in the United States after President Donald Trump decided to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact, a representative of the local textile business association said. The Southeast Asian nation now expects to $4.8 billion worth of textiles and garments to the U.S. this year, accounting for 39% of the archipelago's total textile and garment export, according to the Indonesian Textile Association, or API. Last year, the U.S. market accounted for only 36% of the country's textile and garment. The association chairman, Adi Sudrajat, said early this week, neighboring countries such as Vietnam and Malaysia used to enjoy an import duty leeway for being a TPP member country, while Indonesian textile products are subjected to a 10% import duty when entering the U.S. market. Signs for increase in U.S. textile orders have already surfaced, with local producers reporting more U.S. buyers have inquired about products and pricing. U.S. market picking up should also help counter the drawback Indonesian textile producers are experiencing in the European Union markets. There, Indonesia has to face stiff competition from Vietnam, which gets an import duty of 0% under European Union's preferential treatment for its low and lower middle-income partners. Indonesian Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution has made assurances that Arun Lok Smawe in Aceh is ready to become a special economic zone within the next 10 years with a total investment of $3.8 billion. After chairing a coordination meeting of economic ministers in Jakarta Monday night, as reported by Tempo.co, Darmin said Arun Lok Smawe has met the requirements to become a special economic zone and it will be proposed to President Joko Widodo. He added the consortium of several state-owned enterprises, energy company PT Pertamina, fertilizer company PT Pupuk Iskandar Muda, and seaport operator PT Pelindo I, as well as companies owned by the Aceh administration, have expressed interest in investing in the area. President Joko Widodo would establish the 2,622-hectare economic zone through a government regulation. It is expected to create some 40,000 jobs. Among the industries to be developed in the area include a plant for the regasification of liquefied natural gas LNG, an LNG trading hub, an LNG plant, environmentally friendly power plants, a petrochemical cluster, and an agro-industry and its related products. Minister Darmin said the government would develop infrastructure, particularly an international standard seaport, to support the development of industries in the area. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Ahead of the launch of Telkom 3S, which will be held on February 15 next, PT Telkom Indonesia invited 250 students from the 3T areas into the master control station of Satellite Cibinong Bogor, West Java, to learn more about the satellite wrapped within the Widya Travel concept with the theme Space Exploration Children of the Nation. Director of Network and IT Solutions Abdul Somad Arif said, the company is providing an education wrapped in fun concept through Widya Wisata so that students who are invited can get to know more about satellite in Indonesia. The launch of Telkom Satellite 3S marks the 40 years of Telkom Indonesia in managing the satellite. Arif Abdul Somad added, for that reason, Telkom want to give education especially to students who happen to live within the local small earth stations or SBK, as in Sabang, Merauke, Nunukan, and Flores, in order to understand the true impact of the satellite communications and activities of the local communities. Sekolah Pelita Harapan, or SPH, has announced that several of its graduates have once again received early acceptance at prestigious universities in the United States and Hong Kong this year. As of January, SPH graduates have been accepted at the University of Hong Kong, Northwestern University, University of Virginia, Indiana University, Purdue University, Wheaton College, and two Ivy League schools for studies in various disciplines. Last year's batch of Sekolah Pelita Harapan graduates received acceptance at Ivy League schools such as Brown University, Columbia University, Harvard University, and the University of Pennsylvania. Other top U.S. schools also on the list include Carnegie Mellon, Caltech, and Johns Hopkins. According to the Pelita Harapan School's official website, the school's university acceptance rate has been proven over the years. In 2016, there were 193 students who graduated at Sekolah Pelita Harapan campuses with international baccalaureate diplomas, which are key when signing up for undergraduate studies abroad. Early and systematic preparation seems to be one of the factors leading SPH to its outstanding achievements. Its career counseling programs help students to be well-informed as they decide on their post-high school journeys. The last item, state-owned port operator PT Pelabuhan Indonesia to Persero is targeting the operation of part of Kijing Port Terminal in Mempawah, West Kalimantan by 2019. The international port will serve the province's downstream sector, which includes crude palm oil and aluminium. PT Pelabuhan Indonesia Pelindo II official Dani Rusli Utama said that the port project will be carried out in three phases. The first phase is the construction of container and multipurpose terminal. The second phase is the construction of container and liquid bulk cargo terminal. And the third phase is the construction of dry and liquid bulk cargo terminal. Pelindo II needs to improve Kijing International Port due to Pontianak Port's limited capacity of 217,000 TEUs. Meanwhile, Kijing's container and multipurpose terminal in the first phase of the project is expected to have a capacity of around 500,000. The port, Danny went on, will have a huge potential due to its depth of minus 15-meter low water spring, meaning that dredging work will not be required. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The House Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah is reported by migrant worker groups for an offensive statement. PT Pertamina uses cross split to manage aid oil and gas blocks. That was the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with our commentary today, entitling Regional Head Election and Issues on Ethnicity, Race, and Religion. Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly MPR Chairman Zulkifli Hasan some time ago said, issues on race, ethnic origin, and religion are over. Whereas it turns out that in some areas, especially ahead of regional head elections in Jakarta, they are still considered to be hot issues. Actually, what has been conveyed by the chairman of the assembly should be a concern, because the issues in the local election are quite favorable and are often used to define the democratic atmosphere that Indonesian people have built. By definition, racial issues are the views and actions undertaken based on the identity that includes ethnicity, race, religion, and intergroup elements. It can also be associated with the unfair service to someone for the reason of those elements. The main point is that SARA, or ethnic, religion, and race, are sensitive issues that should be avoided and should not be disputed to maintain the unity of the nation of Indonesia. It is not justified to prioritize more on the interests of race, religion, and ethnicity than that of the nation. In the regional election case, the issues on race, ethnicity, and religion are also prone to be utilized by the candidates to get more support, especially when the candidates feel that their groups belong to the majority group in the community. The sentiment is very easily ignited. Indeed, discrimination can be found anywhere, both in developing and developed countries. This is due to the human tendency to discriminate others. When a person is treated unfairly because of race, class, gender, race, religion and belief, political orientation, physical condition, or other characteristic, it is called discrimination. An inappropriate action, but still happens. Issues on ethnicity, race and religion has lately emerged as an issue which are considered to be the cause of various social unrest in Indonesia. Perhaps it is because Indonesia is about to hold simultaneous regional election 2017 next February. There are some prospective regional heads who use racial issues to gain vote. Naturally, every Indonesian must maintain the integrity of the nation together and avoid divisions because of racial issues. That was commentary. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. Let's begin with January 31st, 1926. Nahdlatul Ulama is founded. Nahdlatul Ulama is one of the biggest Islamic organizations in Indonesia. It was established on January 31st, 1926 and is engaged in educational, social and economic fields. This organization was formed on the consciousness of intellectuals to fight for the dignity of the nation through the education and organization. After coordinating with various clerics from various Islamic boarding schools, finally they agreed to form an organization called Nahdlatul Ulama, which means Awakening Ulama or Clerics, on January 31st, 1926 in the city of Surabaya. Kyai Haji Hashim Ashari was the first chairman of the organization. Let's move on to January 31st, 1958. Explorer 1 is launched. Explorer 1 was the first satellite made by the United States and launched into space on January 31st, 1958 at 22:48 p.m. Eastern Time in Cape Canaveral, Missile Annex, Florida. The satellite launch is regarded as a very important moment because at that time, the United States and the Soviet Union were competing in space technology. Soviet Union successfully launched the world's first artificial satellite named Sputnik 1 on October 4, 1957. Satellite Explorer 1, launched using a rocket named Juno, is equipped with a variety of instruments such as cosmic ray detector, a temperature sensor, a microphone to listen to the voice of micrometeorites crashing into the satellite, and many other instruments. Explorer 1 satellite was functioning normally during the 4 months to send the data to Earth, but then went into disorder and stopped communicating on May 23, 1958. The satellite remained in the space for more than 10 years before finally entering the Earth's atmosphere on March 31, 1970. The last event is from 1968, where Vietnam War Viet Cong guerrillas attack the United States Embassy in Saigon, and other attacks in early morning hours later grouped together as the Tet Offensive. The Tet Offensive was one of the largest military campaigns of the Vietnam War, launched in the early morning hours on January 31, 1968, by forces of Viet Cong and North Vietnamese People's Army of Vietnam against the forces of the South Vietnamese Army of the Republic of Vietnam, the United States Armed Forces, and their allies. It was a campaign of surprise attack against military and civilian command and control centers throughout South Vietnam. The name of the offensive comes from the Tet holiday, the Vietnamese New Year, when the first major attacks took place. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus, entitling Indonesia Must Be Ready to Face the World's Policy Change. Indonesia must be prepared for changes in the current global situation following the recent victory of U.S. President Donald Trump, which is said to change the economic and political map of the world. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, in a dialogue with the councils of professors of Gajah Mada University in Yogyakarta, on Friday said, President Trump with the principles of protections against American products can reverse what has happened so far. Trump is quite phenomenal with inward-looking that prioritizes U.S. national interest. He does not care if he has to violate the rules of the World Trade Organization, WTO. Minister Luhut Panjaitan thought, there will be a number of crucial events that may occur due to the changes of the U.S. head of government. Until the middle of last year, United States was still a net importer of oil in the world. Now it has started to reduce its dependence on other countries. At the same time, it is trying to export gas. But when Trump came to power, just in a matter of days, the Dow Jones Index rose significantly. This, according to the minister, indicated the applications of protectionism principle got a pretty good market response. Therefore, he said Indonesia will reduce import in various sectors such as in the energy sector. The government is now promoting the increased use of biofuels from palm oil by 20%. Related to the new president of the United States, recently the U.S. ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph R. Donovan Jr., paid a courtesy visit to the coordinating minister maritime Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta after his official duty in Indonesia. After a meeting, Ambassador Donovan Jr. said they discussed a number of things, including strategic relation between the two countries in order to support the Indonesian maritime policy. The U.S. ambassador admitted he saw a close relationship between Indonesia and the United States in the field of aviation and power generation. He also said that U.S. wants strong relations with Indonesia since it is regarded as one of the most important Asian countries and one of the largest economies. In addition, Indonesia is also the largest Muslim country in the world. That was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news in brief. 55 Indonesian migrant worker groups united under the flag of I Love Indonesia Circle, or LACI, said they will file a report against House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah for an offensive statement on social media platform Twitter, in which he said that Indonesian migrant workers had become beggars in foreign lands. Ironically, Fahri is in a team of lawmakers responsible for revising Indonesia's migrant protection law, a process which had gone nowhere since 2010. The Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has given full authority to state-owned energy company PT Pertamina to manage 8 oil and gas blocks whose third party are set to expire in 2018. Indonesian textile and garment producers look forward to a level playing field in the United States after President Donald Trump decided to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact, a representative of the local textile business association said. The Southeast Asian nation now expects to $5.8 billion worth of textiles and garments to the U.S. this year, accounting for 39% of the archipelago's total textile and garment export, according to the Indonesian Textile Association. Last year, the U.S. market accounted for only 36% of the country's textile and garment. Indonesian Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution has made assurances that Arun Lhokseumawe in Aceh is ready to become a special economic zone within the next 10 years, with a total investment of $3.8 billion. Ahead of the launch of Telkom 3S, which will be held on February 15 next, PT Telkom Indonesia invited 250 students from the 3T areas into the master control station of Satellite Cibinong, Bogor, West Java, to learn more about the satellite wrapped within the Widya Travel concept with the theme Space Exploration Children of the Nation. Sekolah Pelita Harapan has announced that several of its graduates have once again received early acceptance at prestigious universities in the United States and Hong Kong this year. As of January, the Sekolah Pelita Harapan graduates have been accepted at the University of Hong Kong, Northwestern University, University of Virginia, Indiana University, Purdue University, Wheaton College, and two Ivy League schools for studies in various disciplines. State-owned port operator PT Pelabuhan Indonesia II is targeting the operation of part of Kijing Port Terminal in Mempawa, West Kalimantan, by 2019. The international port will serve the province's downstream sector, which includes crude palm oil and aluminium. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we introduce you to Bela Diri Langga or Langga Martial Art from Gorontalo Province. Stay tuned! Listener, five cultures from Gorontalo ethnic have been confirmed as intangible cultural heritages by Minister of Education and Culture. The five cultures are among others Tahuli, Binte Biluhuta, Lohidu, Langga and Dayango or Wumbungo. Tahuli and Lohidu, a variety of oral tradition of Gorontalo people which still maintain until nowadays. Binte Biluhuta is a typical food menu of Gorontalo like baby corn soup mixed with various kinds of spices. While Langga is a martial art which is included in the determination of intangible cultural heritage object. The Langga has its own uniqueness that relies on survival techniques. So, it is a defensive action. Dayango is a religion which is followed by Gorontalo people before entering Islam. The ritual is still maintained by the local people. Researchers of Preservation of Cultural Values Institute, Salmin Jakaria, on Wednesday, January 25, said the five intangible cultures from Gorontalo completing other cultures that have been previously assigned. The culture are called Molapi Saronde Dance, Tanggomo, Polo Palo, Karawo, and Tumbila Tohe. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you the five cultures of Gorontalo tribe, which has recently been confirmed as the intangible cultural heritage, namely Bela Diri Langga or Langga Martial Art. Bela Diri Langga supposedly began to grow since the 16th century, where Islam began to enter Gorontalo region. Ju Panggola was trusted to be the creator of this martial art. Langga martial art was born without having to learn the structure of motion or other techniques like other martial art in general. Ju Panggola was just conducted pitudu with dripping fluid into the eyes of his pupils, then automatically they are able to do martial art with directed techniques which are able to defeat enemies, especially the colonizers of Gorontalo region. Therefore, langga comes from the word he langga langgawa, which Gorontalo language means gestures. Langga included in the determination of intangible cultural heritage because this martial art has its own uniqueness. The martial art tends to the survival techniques that rely on the natural defensive. However, when the players are attacked, the strength of their offensives will turn off the opponents or the attackers. In principle, Langga traditional martial art is aimed to defend themselves from the attack of enemies. The martial art is not used to kill, but only to keep ourselves, knock out those who become opponents, not for something that causes fatalities. Langga is a martial art with bare hands and plan of kick and strike to catch the weak point in the human body or dropping the opponent. Besides as a tool of martial art, there will find the life philosophical teachings as the embodiment of the recognition of God Almighty. Listener, Langga martial art tradition consists of two types, namely Langga Bua and Langga Lai. Seeing from the structure of the motion and traditions, both types of Langga have similarity to each other, except for the character. Langga Bua is more aggressive in challenging opponents, no longer respect or appreciate the opponents. While Langga Lai is more quiet against the opponent, but has a high vigilance and authority. Sometimes, by performing Langga Lai, the opponents will surrender without fighting. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, with the topic Langga martial art from Gorontalo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is memasak, or in English, cooking. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Memasak. Memasak. In English, to cook. Udara dingin. Udara dingin. In English, cold weather. Makan. Makan. In English, to eat. Pedas. Pedas. In English, spicy hot. Malas. Malas. In English, lazy. Pergi keluar. Pergi keluar. In English, to go out. Di luar. Di luar. In English, outside. Gerimis. Gerimis. in English, drizzle. Lemari es. Lemari es. In English, refrigerator. Ayam. Ayam. In English, chicken. Wortel. Wortel. In English, carrot. Kentang. Kentang. In English, potato. Tahu. Tahu. In English, tofu. Sup ayam. Sup ayam. In English, chicken soup. Menggoreng. Menggoreng. In English, to fry. Sambal. Sambal. In English, chili condiment. Enak. Enak. In English, delicious. Bantu. Bantu. In English, to help. Nikmat. Nikmat. In English, wonderful. Next is a conversation on memasak, or in English, cooking. As usual, I'll say every sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. The conversation is between Rita, A, and Ana, B, at Rita's. A. Ana, udara dingin seperti ini, kamu mau makan apa? Ana, udara dingin seperti ini, kamu mau makan apa? In English, Ana, in this cold weather, what do you want to eat? B. Yang enak, makan yang panas dan pedas. Yang enak, makan yang panas dan pedas. In English, it would be nice to have something hot and spicy. A. Tetapi saya sedang malas pergi keluar. Tetapi saya sedang malas pergi keluar. In English, I'm feeling lazy. Di luar sedang gerimis. Di luar sedang gerimis. In English, it's drizzling outside. B. Di lemari es kamu ada apa saja? Di lemari es kamu ada apa saja? In English, what do you have in the refrigerator? A. Saya punya ayam, wortel, kentang, dan tahu. Saya punya ayam, wortel, kentang, dan tahu. In English, I have some chicken, carrot, and tofu. B. Baiklah, kalau begitu, saya akan memasak sup ayam dan menggoreng tahu serta membuat sambal. Baiklah, kalau begitu, saya akan memasak sup ayam dan menggoreng tahu serta membuat sambal. In English, alright then, I'll cook some chicken soup, fry the tofu, and make the sambal. Enak sekali dimakan pada waktu udara dingin seperti ini. Enak sekali dimakan pada waktu udara dingin seperti ini. In English, they're really delicious to be eaten in the cold weather like this. Ah, baiklah, saya bantu kamu. Baiklah, saya bantu kamu. In English, okay, I'll help you. Setelah memasak, kita makan bersama. Pasti nikmat. Setelah memasak, kita makan bersama. Pasti nikmat. In English, after cooking, we'll eat together. It must be wonderful. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language, on the radio. I'm Nuka Kusumawati until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to Dangdut songs. Happy listening.
Selalu.
You've just listened to the song entitled Indah Pada Waktunya. The song was released in last April 2016, sung by Dewi Persik. The song also became the soundtrack of the soap opera Centini Manis in one of the private television stations in the country. Indah Pada Waktunya tells the story of someone who keeps the spirit to live his life, although failure comes repeatedly. Although it is a dangdut song, but at the beginning of this song, the listener will listen to a pop song rhythm. Then in the middle of the song suddenly turns into typical remix dangdut song. Remix is a subgenre of dangdut music. Judging from the composition of the rhythm of the music, koplo dangdut has a faster beat compared to a conventional dangdut song. Along with the success of the film Centini Manis, the song Indah Pada Waktunya has been well received by dangdut lovers in the country. Actually, not only the song Indah Pada Waktunya was released by Dewi Persik as Centini Manis soap opera soundtrack, there were several other songs like Aku Melayang, Surga Dunia, and Halalin Aku. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Aku Melayang by Dewi Persik. Happy listening.
Aku suka sifatmu, perhatian padaku. Aku suka perlakuanmu, perhatian pada diriku. Aku suka dengan sikapmu, pengertian pada diriku. Bersamamu aku merasa bahagia. Saat bersamamu kau membuat hati ini jadi suka, 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 suka. Kau melakukan aku seperti yang ku dambakan. Kau dengan penuh kelembutan.
suka. Oh, aku suka. Oh, aku suka. Oh, aku suka. Oh, aku suka.
The singer with the real name Dewi Muria Agung started her career in the dangdut music when she released a single entitled Mimpi Manis in 2006. This song is dedicated by Dewi Persik as one of the most popular dangdut singer in the country. The singer, who also called Depe, then released several songs which she sings in solo or in a duet with another singer. One of the latest Depe duet song, entitled Sal Dut, which was released in March 2016. Depe sing along with Fabio Dito, a talented singer from Colombia. Previously, she has been a dancer of the world's top singers such as Shakira and Marc Anthony. He is very interested to the Indonesian music and wants to collaborate with Indonesian singers by combining musics of both countries. The music collaboration can be seen in the Sal Dut song, which collaborate dangdut music with salsa, so it is abbreviated with Sal Dut. The Sal Dut music is very nice to sway. The lyrics are a mixture of Indonesian, English, and Latin. From the lyrics and the music, this song invites anyone to join sway. Well, listener, to conclude our music for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sal Dut and Mimpi Manis by Dewi Persik. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dewi, Fabio, Indonesia tiene talento. Vámonos pa Colombia, papá.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.